So if you want to keep those Bibles open, it's a difficult passage, and we're going to need our Bibles for this one. But I want to begin with a story of a young couple from a previous church of mine. They were getting married. They sent out the wedding invitations, and the wedding invitations requested a written RSVP to the reception by, you know, the prescribed date, the RSVP date. Now, three of those invitations went to three of their 20-year-old male friends, all of whom lived in a bachelor pad together. And this couple knew that three young 20-year-old males would need some special prompting to make sure that they RSVP'd in writing. And so they gave them that. They said, we need you to know that you need to RSVP in writing by the prescribed date. Well, as the RSVP date approached, no letter from the boys. So the couple again, very gently, prompted them, guys, you need to RSVP in writing. Yeah, we know, we'll get to it, they said. Well, the RSVP date came and went, and no RSVP from the boys. So the boys were then officially uninvited to the wedding, and their three seats were given to three other friends. And so on the day, these boys got dressed up in their best suit because they were their good friends, and they went along to the ceremony, and then they went home. They were excluded from the reception because they didn't follow the simple RSVP requirements. Friends, this is what Paul is concerned about in our passage today, that certain people will be excluded from something even better than a wedding reception. And that something even better is nothing less than enjoying that which is most enjoyable in this life. All right? What Paul is talking about today is how to enjoy the greatest thing there is to enjoy in this life. It's actually a culmination of what Paul has been arguing since the very first verse of his letter. All right? He introduced in Romans 1 verse 1 the gospel of God. That's what Paul has been talking about. And Paul's argument has been that the gospel of God says that salvation does not run down racial lines. Remember, the Jews of Paul's day thought that you had to become a Jew in order to be saved. And what that meant was, if you're a Gentile, a non-Jew, then you were stuffed. But what Paul has been arguing and showing since then, it is not the Jews who are in and the Gentiles who are out. It is rather the righteous who are in, right, and the wicked who were out. And this argument reached its climax in last week's passage when Paul showed how the righteous are saved, how God saves the righteous, and that is through Jesus' death. And what does Jesus' death do? Number one, it propitiates, right, a big word, it turns away God's wrath on our sin. But even better than God saying your sins are forgiven, you may go, is God also says you are worthy. You may come. Okay, and we saw this in Romans 3:22. You are worthy. It says, this righteousness is given to those who have faith. Now, in today's passage, Paul, what he's doing is he's going back to the people he was talking about in Romans chapter 2, all right, to the Jews, and he's saying to these Jews, make sure you're not excluded from this. Excluded from hearing the most comforting words ever spoken. You are worthy. From the only person that really matters, you may come into my heaven. But this passage is a warning that many who think they're invited will actually be excluded. All right. So while this is quite a complicated passage, when we pull it apart and understand it, we're going to see it is also an incredibly important passage because it is warning. It is Paul warning his readers. And remember, his readers are Christians. He is warning his readers against being excluded from enjoying that which is most enjoyable in this life. And we're going to see what that is. But I've got 3 points to help us unpack these puzzling verses today, as your sermon outline shows. We're going to begin by looking at what Paul means when he talks about boasting in verse 27. So I've titled this, What is Boasting? What is this boasting he's talking about? Our second point is why people are being excluded from this boasting. And then we're going to conclude in our third point. That's where the real gold of this passage is found. And by gold, I mean how to enjoy that which is most enjoyable. That's what we're looking at today. So let's dive in and find out how not to be excluded from the most enjoyable thing on earth by looking at what is boasting, why is boasting excluded, and how, where is this boasting found? And our passage begins, Romans 3, verse 27. Where then is boasting? Now, when you hear the word boasting, what automatically comes to your mind with boasting? See, if you're anything like me, you're probably thinking of those insufferable people who like to tell everyone how awesome they are. So I'll give you an example, one of our favourites, Bernard Tomic. When Bernard Tomic bowed out of Wimbledon 2017, he said this to the Herald Sun. He said, look, you probably don't like me, but at only 24, you guys can only dream about what I have. He says, like me, I don't care, whatever. You just go back to dreaming about your dream house or your dream car while I go out and actually buy them. So he has this wonderful way of endearing himself to his fans, doesn't he? But here's the thing. The Greek word for boast here is not actually a negative word. It's a neutral word. What it means is it can be used negatively as a pride-filled boast, but it can also be used in a positive sense. We actually see this in Romans 5, verse 2. So flick forward one page over to Romans chapter 5 and have a look at verse 2, halfway through, just after the full stop. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now the ESV actually translates that word boast as rejoice. Okay, this is enjoying something in Romans 5, verse 2. So flick back to Romans 3, 27, and when Paul says, where then is boasting, we need to figure out whether Paul is talking about a pride-filled brag, like we just saw, that negative boasting, or a joyful celebration, like in Romans 5, verse 2, right? Positive boasting. Now, the context is the key to this. Our problem is this boasting seems to come out of nowhere. He hasn't been talking about boasting in the last couple of verses until we realize that in the Greek, Paul literally says, where then is the boasting? The word the is in the Greek. Now, the reason the English doesn't translate the is because it's just a little clunky. Where is the boasting? It doesn't really make sense. But what it's telling us is, what it means is, Paul is referring to something here that he's already mentioned in his letter. And when we go on back and have a look through his letter, we see that Paul has mentioned boasting twice. So flick back one page with me this time to chapter 2, verse 17. Right, it just begins that new section there. Verse 17, now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God. And then have a look down at verse 2:23. You who boast in the law, will you dishonor God by breaking the law? Right, so the boasting Paul has already mentioned in his letter is boasting in God and boasting in the law. And they are positive things, are they not? So what does it mean to have positive boasting? Well, let me give you an example. Quick trivia quiz. Who can tell me what 1979 and 2010 have in common? 1979, 2010, Dave? The Dragons won the premiership. My beloved Dragons. Well done, Dave. Tick for you. Now, here's the thing. In 1979, I was 5 years old, so I don't really remember that win. So the only time my beloved Dragons have won the premiership in my living memory is 2010. Now, when they won that premiership, what do you think I did? I rejoiced. I boasted. I celebrated. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't a pride-filled boast or brag. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't on the team. I didn't even go to the game. It was on a Sunday night, so I was at church because Jesus is more important than footy. But here's the thing. It was a positive boast. I was boasting in my team. I was proud of my team. I was proud to be a Dragon supporter. Okay? It was a joyful celebration. It felt good. And that's what Paul is getting at in verse 27. It's the kind of boasting that makes us feel good inside. You see, when we brag with a pride, there's something that doesn't feel right inside of us. The reason being, we know that that pride-filled bragging is coming from a place of weakness, a place of insecurity. Right? Why did Tomek say, you guys can only dream of doing what I'm doing? Because he just lost. The kind of boasting Paul is talking about in Romans 3:27, all right, is the kind of boasting that makes us feel good inside. It's positive boasting. But here's the thing. It is boasting in the two most important and enjoyable things in existence. So number one, it is boasting in God, Romans 2:17. Right? What does that mean? It means to enjoy God. It means to, it's the meaning of life. And it's boasting in God's word, Romans 2:23. If you recall from last, was it 2 weeks ago, the Bible is the treasure map to the greatest treasure in existence. And so boasting in the Bible is using the Bible to find the greatest treasure in existence. So what Paul is asking in Romans 3:23 is, are you enjoying, rejoicing in, boasting in the greatest joys this universe has to offer? Sadly, the people from Romans 2 were not. What does it say? Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Now remember, the people from Romans 2 are the wicked Jews. They are those the people that had God's laws but broke God's laws, Romans 2:23. And what Paul is doing here is he's taking these Jews from the highest of highs, okay, boasting in God and his word, and he's bringing them down to the lowest of lows. And it's only one word in the Greek, excluded. But what does Paul mean by excluded? Well, let me use Lance Armstrong to illustrate. So Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France 7 times in a row, making him the undisputed greatest tour rider in human history. But as we know, that whole time, Lance Armstrong was the ringleader of, quote, the most sophisticated, professionalized, and successful doping program sports has ever seen. And so even though Lance Armstrong should be boasting that he won the world's most grueling race on the bike 7 years in a row, his boasting is now excluded. Now, I'm not trying to beat the guy up. He's come clean. He's repented. But he can never boast about his 7 wins again. His boasting is excluded. And that's what Paul is getting at here. Something these Jews have done has excluded them from enjoying God, boasting in God, and boasting in the treasure map to God. So what is it that they've done? Let's keep reading. Romans 3:27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. Now, when we see the word law in this verse, it doesn't refer to the Mosaic law. Whenever the word law is used in Romans so far, it means the Mosaic law, but to say the Mosaic law of works or the Mosaic law of faith, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, what he's talking about here is a principle. Right, the law is a principle. Is it the principle of works that excludes these people, or is it the principle of faith? Which one is it? Well, back in chapter 2, Paul said the thing that marked out the wicked Jews was their lack of works. Okay, you who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? Romans 2:23. So could it be the principle of works? Well, in last week's passage, Paul said salvation is not based on the principle of works. It's based on the principle of faith. And Paul reiterates it in this week's passage. Have a look at verse 28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. And so the reason the wicked Jews are excluded from this boasting is not because they lack works. Right? It's not the principle of works. It's because they lack faith. It's the principle of faith. Let me explain it this way. When you and I are outside and we see a tree, okay, oh, I didn't fix those words up. Excuse me for that. When we see a tree, all we see is that which is from the ground up, all right? So we see the trunk, the branches, the leaves, okay? But there's a whole bunch of stuff going on underneath the surface, isn't there? It's the root system. And that root system is actually what sustains the tree that we see. All right, the root system provides nourishment for the trees, but also stability for the tree. All right, without the root system, that tree would fall over if we said boo. And this is how faith and works are related. All right, when we look at a person, what do we see? We see their works. But those works tell us what's going on underneath. So if they lack good works, then that's an indicator that they probably lack faith. But if they have faith, and we see this in verse 31, the principle of faith, what does that lead to? It leads us to works, to uphold the law. And that's what Paul calls the obedience of faith. And so what Paul is saying in verses 27 and 28 is the real problem the wicked Jews had was not a lack of works. They did have a lack of works, but that's not their real problem. Their real problem was that they lacked faith. Here's the thing, though. Even if the wicked Jews could follow all of God's commands, it actually won't make a difference. The reason being because that's not how justification works. Right? That's not how you get into the kingdom. It's like becoming an Australian citizen. Okay, you cannot become an Australian citizen simply by turning up on a boat or flying into to Mascot Airport. There's only two ways you can become an Australian citizen. One is to be born here, or the other is to follow the processes set forward by the Australian government. And it's the same with God. God has set up a particular process to become a citizen of his kingdom. And that process is not works-based. It's faith-based. And this is why salvation is not Jew versus Gentile. All right? God is the God of both Jews and Gentiles, verse 29. Why? Because salvation is not about following the law, it is about having faith. And these people are excluded. The reason that their boasting is excluded is because they lack that faith. So, we know what boasting is, all right? It is enjoying that which is most enjoyable. It's boasting in God, the ultimate treasure, and in his word, the treasure map to that ultimate treasure. We also know why this boasting is excluded, all right? Just like those bachelor boys, the boys in the bachelor pad were excluded from the ceremony because they didn't follow the instructions for RSVPing, so too are those without faith not following the requirements to be able to enjoy God and boast in God. Last question this leaves is, how do we get this boasting then? All right, if this boasting that Paul is talking about is enjoying that which is most enjoyable, I want this boasting. So how do I find this boasting? Paul shows us in the opening verses of chapter 4. Have a look, Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what Paul is doing, he's asking a hypothetical. Okay? So he's just said in Romans 3:28 that a person is justified by faith. That's the requirement. That's the process in getting into the kingdom. You need to have faith. It's the law of faith. But in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, what if you could be justified by works? What would happen then? What if it is my good works that could get me over the line? What would happen? Well, he says, then we would have something to brag about. I did it. In my own strength, I got over the line. My own works have atoned for my sin. Right? That's what would happen. That's what he said. Abraham would have something to brag about. But here's the thing. There are two big problems, well, at least two problems with this hypothetical. And the first is that works justification can only ever lead to either pride or despair. Right? If it's all about me and what I do, that can only ever lead to pride. Look at me, I've done it, I've got over the line. Or despair. I'll never do enough. I don't know if I'll ever make it into heaven. And friends, this is what every single world religion offers us. A works righteousness that leads to either pride or despair. Every single world religion, that is, except one, biblical Christianity. But the second problem with works justification is seen at the end of verse 2. So what is it? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Now the literal translation is not towards God. So Paul is saying is, if we boast in our own works, we can't boast towards God. But what does it mean to boast towards God? Well, James mentioned the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe last week. He mentioned that scene where the White Witch renounces her claim over Edmund. So Edmund. And Edmund was the traitor, okay? So the White Witch, she should have been able to kill him, but she renounces his claim over him. Now, as we learn a little later on, the reason she renounces her claim over Edmund is because Aslan, not only the creator, but the true king of Narnia, offered to die in his place. Now, how do you think Edmund would have felt when he found out a little later on that Aslan thought so highly of him, that Aslan loved him so deeply, that he was actually willing to pay the ultimate price to save him? Because, friends, that's what Jesus has done for you and me. And this is the heart of what it means to enjoy that which is most enjoyable. Right? It is to boast towards God. It is to rejoice in the fact that the divine creator of the universe and the true king of the universe thinks so highly of me, loves me so deeply, wants me in his heaven so badly, that he was willing to pay the ultimate price to save me. Now, friends, bragging in that, boasting in that, makes boasting in our good works look like chewing gum on the footpath. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So what does this look like? Well, I've got 3 points by way of application as we close. The first is to any non-Christians that may be among us today. Now, can I begin by saying we are stoked that you're here. We love it that you're here. We want you to come back time and time again, please. But here's the thing. If you don't yet trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then the absolute best blessing you can hope to receive in this life is chewing gum on the footpath. See, relying on your own good works can only ever lead to either pride or despair. Chewing gum on the footpath. Real enjoyment in this life comes from boasting in the God who gave himself for you and me. That's where real enjoyment comes from. Our second point is for our regulars. The latest census data tells us that over 50% of our area is either Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox. And these are religions that teach a type of works righteousness, that you need Jesus and good works, Jesus and the sacraments, Jesus and good deeds. Now, if we add to that a further 30% who at the last census identified as no religion, what that means is well over 80% of our local area are excluded from boasting in God, both in this life and the next. Now, how does that make us feel? Let me read what Paul feels about it. Flick over 4 pages forward to Romans chapter 9, please. This is Paul talking about how he feels about those who are excluded. Romans 9, verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Friends, we saw it a couple of weeks ago. Paul spent his entire life in calling both Jews and non-Jews to the obedience of faith. Why? because of his great sorrow and unceasing anguish, that without faith they are excluded from God. O Lord, please so move our hearts to have this same urgency for the people of our area. Our third and final application point is this: make sure that we're not falling back into works righteousness ourselves, because every single human does it. It's so easy to do, to think it's all about me and what I'm doing. But here's the thing, when we do that, when we think about us and our own works and our own good deeds, it is like picking up chewing gum from the footpath and putting it in our mouth. Right, let me give you an example. Friends, whenever we judge others, whenever we look down on others, whenever we say of others, oh, I would never do that, I would never behave like them, I would never say things like that, you know what we're doing? We're making it all about us and our works. And that is like picking up chewing gum off the footpath and putting it in our mouth. Whenever we harbour bitterness against someone who had the hide to point out our faults to us, do you know what we're doing? Many, many years ago, I remember bringing a legitimate fault to a Christian's attention. I did it as loving as I could, okay? But their world collapsed. Why? Because someone had pointed out to them that they were doing something wrong, and they prided themselves on being a good Christian. Right? It was all about them and their works. And that is like picking up chewing gum from the footpath and putting it in our mouth. Or whenever we beat ourselves up over a particular sin or a particular mistake, right? What are we doing? Now, we should repent of our sin. We should apologize for our mistakes. But if we get down on ourselves about our own righteousness, we're making it all about us again, aren't we? And our good works. And it is like picking up chewing gum from the footpath and putting it in our mouth. Friends, may we stop boasting in our works, because they are chewing gum on the footpath when compared to the Creator of the universe, loving us so deeply, thinking so highly of us, wanting us in his heaven so badly that he would actually pay the ultimate price to make it happen. Friends, is that what you want? Do you want to be enjoying that which is most enjoyable? Well, if so, then let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.